Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. I have a few slightly outdated topics to start off with.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Well, we're recording this a little bit ahead of time. So by the time this airs, like the election will be over and everything. But a few like non-political voting related things. One, I heard somebody, I forget what I was listening to, but somebody somewhere was talking about polls and how they think polls are so inaccurate because come on, who's ever been asked to be part of a poll? I have been asked to be part of every poll. My phone is constantly getting texts, constant spam calls. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I can't even, like, listen to anything on my phone without constantly getting interrupted because of these goddamn polls.
Yeah.
Do you get that? Or is it just me?
I'm constantly getting, like, text messages for political things and stuff like that. I don't even pay attention to what they are. I delete all of them.
Yeah, it's too much.
Tons of emails, too. And phone calls, like spam calls.
Yeah.
I just, you know, block every single one that I don't recognize. So
another thing I did is I voted in person. And, you know, I go hard for everything Vegas. But one thing I love about Vegas is we have the cutest voting stickers.
Oh, yeah.
The main one, it says, I posted on my Instagram. It's like the cityscape. And it says, I voted. And then there's a special rare one. If you go down to Vegas City Hall, you get one with a showgirl on it who's blowing a kiss and it says, I voted.
That's super cute.
Yeah, super cute. Angel got that one, the rare one. I wanted to get that one, but I didn't realize until after the fact. I'm like, oh, you have to go. It's specifically like if you go to the City Hall. But then, you know, I wanted to do my patriotic duty and advertise that I voted. So I stuck my voting stickers on my boobs. Don't do that because I swear I've showered, but clearly have not exfoliated because then you put on self-tanner and this happens.
Oh, no.
And we're filming this a day before Halloween. So I'm supposed to go trick-or-treating as a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader and I'm going to be looking like this.
Oh, no.
God bless America.
Yeah. But everybody should vote. I know it's after the fact, but hopefully everybody voted.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is I was just scrolling through Instagram waiting for you to get here this morning. And somebody posted a photo of me in one of the Playboy costumes. Uh-huh. And I have no recollection of this costume whatsoever.
What was it?
It's a witch. But it's like, I don't remember this one at all. I reposted it, but I'm like, who is this?
I feel like especially the last year we did the costume catalog, there were just so many costumes and some of them were so random that they're not as memorable.
And I had to like zoom in and be like, is that even me?
Right? No, I feel that way about some of the ones I'm seeing pop up as well. Because I feel like that first year they did Halloween costumes, they were almost kind of suited to our personalities. Not all of them, but some of them. And then by the time we get to like the third year, it's like anything and everything.
Well, I feel like we even got to like weigh in a little bit one of the years, like like create them. At least the second year,
I think you're right. I think they
did the Marie Antoinette one.
Uh-huh. Well, that was the first year and it was based on your costume.
And then... But I mean, that was from our input and stuff. And there was some other ones too. I'm trying to remember now, but there was definitely input from us on there.
Yeah.
Or at least I was talking.
Yeah. Maybe you were.
But I just, you know, of course, I love all that stuff. I want my costume line again.
Oh my God, another outdated thing is I had such a boomer moment because I was making TikToks with Tana and Trisha. I never really thought about this because I'm usually just making TikToks by myself in my house. But if I'm going to lip sync something, I have to hear it like 3 times before I can get the timing right. But they don't. They get it after once. And I'm like behind. I'm like delayed on all the TikToks. And I feel so old.
Oh.
But I also feel like sometimes when a video has a janky element, it leads to more engagement. So I'm happy to be the janky element.
Yeah. Fun. All right. So we're back into the setups.
We are back into our Calendar Girls episode. And this week, I kind of wanted to talk about like conflict within a plot line, because you can't have story without conflict. Conflict is basically the definition of story. And I think about that all the time when I see something in an episode about myself that I don't like, or I feel like that's not really who I am, or why did they do me dirty like that? You kind of have to weigh it, like, how much do you hate it versus I need conflict for this to be a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think about that a lot. And I was just thinking about what the conflicts they gave each of us for this episode are. Like, I think for me, they made mine be, I need to get this calendar right because I really want to impress Hef. Is Hef gonna like it? Even though that wasn't what I was feeling like at all. I think for Kendra, her conflict was fish out of water because one of her themes is so not her. But I feel like they really do you dirty in yours, because I feel like in yours, and you talked about this a little bit last week, how you feel like a recurring theme is them making you look like you're not good enough to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally see how you feel that way. And I feel like they've definitely done that before. I was watching this and I was feeling like they were trying to make you not look difficult, but almost like your expectations were too high. And Arnie just can't deal with it. Like, oh my God, Bridget has these big ideas and I can't make it happen. Or Bridget wants this in and it's too much. Or Bridget wants this in and just expects miracles.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that?
Absolutely. Especially when we get to the last one.
And it's crazy how subtle some of this stuff is, because that would have never occurred to me like the first 5 times I watched this episode in my lifetime. But as we're sitting here watching it for, I don't know how many times I've seen this episode, maybe this is like the 5th time in my life, and we're really analyzing it, I'm like, all of our shoots went off without a hitch for this particular calendar. It was smooth sailing. It was fun. But they really make a point of making mine all look super easy. Like, probably the one with the snake that we're going to get to was the hardest, but still that was really easy. The first 3, they show back to back, like just efficient as fuck. And yours are always like, there's always an element like, oh, that bow doesn't match. And oh, can we get this? And it always shows Arnie looking more frustrated than he actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not dealing with anything on your sets that Kendra and I weren't dealing with too, but they're just not focusing on it the same way.
Right.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. And I definitely felt it at the time. And I it's also one of those things that I've carried with me, that it makes me look like in a way that it wasn't true going on at that time. And it's so unfair. And also they did 3 of your setups, like just boom, 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 boom. And then they get to mine and we only see 2 so far because it's so difficult. And
they put the plotting music. Mm-hmm.
So they slow it down.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get to Kendra's. And I'm pretty sure they do like boom, 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 3 of her. Then they like do our last ones. Well, your last one and her last one, but they never show my last one because I did it on a different day.
Oh, what was your 4th one that they don't show?
The 4th one that they don't show is me with the cake that I did the striptease on and my striptease outfit.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And those were so
cute. Yeah.
And I blew up some of those photos and I put them in a frame and gave them to Hef for Christmas and stuff. So I had done it, you know, beforehand.
Yeah.
So they don't show any of that. But I thought the cameras came to it, but maybe not.
Yeah.
So we're back at Playboy Studio West, and this time it's Kendra's day.
What do you think made her pick motorcycle? Was she into motorcycles? I don't remember her being into motorcycles.
I don't know.
Do you think she was like dating a guy who's into motorcycles at the time?
That was my guess, but I don't know.
Yeah, because it seemed really random.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe she saw a hot girl on a motorcycle picture and it was just inspired by something as simple as that. But I was just curious because I did not know she ever rode a motorcycle or was into motorcycles or anything.
Yeah.
I really like the way they did her hair in this.
Yeah, I thought it was really cute. I thought it looked good.
It shows her getting ready and they're messing around with the thong. And Joyce is so funny. She goes, shove it up your ass. She's so funny. You know what that reminded me of? So during the Holly's World era, Joyce lived with me for a while. And one of the things she would say all the time, it was a line from a movie that I think like Rosie Perez said. It was like, I don't even know what movie it was. It was like from the 90s. And Joyce would always say it in her funny voice. She'd be like, your mother's a slut and your father's a hoe. And it was just this funny thing that Joyce would say for like no reason. It was almost like a punctuation, like a private joke. And okay. And this was like the Twitter era when like Twitter was new and my friends and I were all menaces on Twitter. We were probably tweeting like 15 times a day. Everybody I knew would tweet exactly what they were doing all the time. You would tag every single person you were with. If you wanted to stalk somebody, it was so easy because everybody was constantly saying where they were and what they were doing and who they were with on Twitter. It was just like 2009, 2010. That was just like the state of Twitter. It was weird. It was a time. And we were talking about something like me, Angel, like probably like five people in our friends group. And then like the chime in was another element. Like I remember like me and Jared Garcia would talk a lot on Twitter and there would be certain people in town who would like chime in and we would call it like the chime in. So people would like chime in with each other. Anyway, there was one night we were all like being crazy on Twitter and there was a guy that I had dated when I first moved to Vegas, very toxic relationship. And I think at one point me and somebody else who knew him said something on Twitter that if you really knew your shit, you would know it was like low key about him or about something that happened. But obviously like his name wasn't in there, name wasn't tagged or nothing like that.
Yeah.
But like if you were paranoid and looking for yourself and watching everything your ex was posting, you might know.
Yeah.
So anyway, something like that. And then like, you know, we're talking all day. People are piling on. People are chiming in. The thread is evolving. It's going different directions. It's turning into a completely different conversation. 6 hours later, Joyce chimes in. And by that time, the conversation has evolved so much. It has nothing to do with the vague thing about the person that nobody but that person would know. And Joyce chimes in, your mother's a slut and your father's a hoe. So that person I was talking about ended up like firing their assistant because they thought their assistant was like somehow friends or friendly with me. And how dare they? Because one of my friends, AKA Joyce, called his 70-year-old mother a hoe, which not by the furthest stretch of the imagination was she even inferring that. Like, this was the biggest stretch of my entire life.
Oh my God.
It was so crazy. And he was so convinced or just so wanted to be part of the drama that this was about him that he went on like a local podcast later and like accused me of like bullying his 70-year-old mother. I mean, this was...
Yeah.
A reach.
Yeah.
It was beyond a reach. It was a shove around the globe. It was like, shove it up your ass. It was like,
oh no.
People are very full of themselves.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
So that was a weave. Where were we?
Back to Kendra. She's doing her motorcycle pictorial and or shoot. And she's using spray paint to paint K-Dub on the wall. And I think it's cool to like have little individual touches.
Easter
like
eggs.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. And she's sniffing the paint.
Yeah.
And she says she came up with that theme because she's a badass and she likes bikes.
Okay.
And then we go straight out to the, everything goes off without a hitch. It's like perfect. Arnie's loving it. She's doing so good. And then the next shoot is Kendra in the boxing ring. Yeah.
I think this is my favorite look on her ever.
I thought it looked good. Yeah. Kendra, then that goes off just no problem. And then the next one is Kendra's doing this golf themed one, which I thought was so cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
I really like this one. Mm-hmm. And so they boom, 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 three shoots for Kendra.
Yeah.
Too.
Boom, 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 going off without a hitch.
In commentary, we are talking about one of the makeup artists. And I will say that we're going on and on about how much we love her and stuff like that. And I will say that later on, she made a comment to somebody that she never did my makeup very good and that she could have done better, but she didn't try.
Who? I'm not going to leave the name in, but who?
She was.
Why would she say that?
She was doing Crystal's makeup and she was telling Crystal that. And was there. Told me that said.
Do you think she felt like she had to say that because Crystal's such a fucking hater?
Yeah. Well, I don't know why.
It's still not nice.
Either way,
it's not loyal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was inviting them both somewhere to like a party at my house. I forget what it was.
Meaning who?
Meaning.
The two makeup artists. Not Crystal and the makeup artist.
The makeup artist and the person who told me.
Okay.
And the person who told me said, well, you might want to be careful about that person.
Right.
So that's why they told me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even like they were trying to spread gossip or anything like that or like talking shit. They were just like, you should be warned about this person because this is what she said behind your back.
Did you like how she did your makeup?
At the time, I thought it was great.
Uh-huh.
But then after the mansion, I had a different makeup artist that I loved way better.
Yeah.
A million times better. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what? My makeup never looked this good at the mansion.
Oh, wow.
So I did at the time, but not when I got out and like experienced other people.
Interesting.
Yeah. So thanks. I'm like, that
it's
sucks.
So weird looking back on these years and you just never know. Like a couple episodes ago, I was talking about like, did these people hate me at the time and they were fake? Is this revisionist history when they talk shit and act like they never liked me? But then there's the other element where you just find out it's not that they're blatantly talking shit, but you find out things and you're like, wait, that doesn't jive with who I thought I knew at all.
Yeah.
It's such a trip.
Yeah, because I thought I was super close to this person.
I thought you were too.
And we had like so many things in common and stuff, like especially Halloween stuff and everything.
That's really crazy.
So it was like, I thought we were beyond just like, she's the makeup artist or whatever, you know, she's a makeup artist. I thought it was like a friendship.
Interesting.
So, but then back to the next scene and you're doing your next shot. And you're by this really cool tree on the property.
Yeah, there was a tree I loved at the mansion. I'm just such a tree nerd. I fucking love trees. Sometimes on my Instagram, I'll just post trees and be like,
oh, there's some cool ones.
Fucking love trees.
Yeah.
This was just like a very old, like gnarled looking, like fantasy forest medieval tree that looked ancient.
And I love that Joyce is adding moss to it. I love moss like growing on trees or rocks or sides of houses or whatever. Like I just love that look so much.
And it just goes to show like the detail they go into set building. Like even though there's a really cool tree, like, oh, that's not enough. Let's make it even cooler.
Yeah.
And my shoot was with a snake named Banana. The idea for the shoot was just very like animal and nature themed because I love the trees and I love animals and I want to do a snake like kind of jungly looking thing. But I also am a huge Britney stan, although I didn't know I was getting her snake, like the same one she used for the VMAs until like it was happening. So they bring, and when these animal handlers bring the giant snake in, they bring it in like a plastic storage tub.
Yeah.
And yeah, then the snake was much bigger by the time I got to use it than when Brittany had it. And the snake's name is Banana.
I have a picture holding Banana too, although I think I mistakenly called it Butter, which aww, I think is a fun name for the snake too. But he was from wildlife, or I don't know if it's a guy or a girl snake, but it's from Wildlife Way Station because they did a thing at the mansion.
Yeah, they did a regular party there, didn't they?
Yeah,
like a fundraiser
every year. And Arnie's looking concerned with you holding it.
Yeah, I think everybody was concerned, but I'm pretty fearless with stuff. a lot of times. One thing I like about this scene is you can see like the mansion orange groves, because I like it on the show when you get to see sections of the property that you don't usually see.
Right.
And it was a very hard shoot because for me to stand in the right spot, I'm standing on like the bottom of the trunk of the tree and some of the roots. And it was very uncomfortable and like painful to do in bare feet. And you're kind of like bracing yourself against the tree and there's all this scratchy bark. And then the snake is so heavy and he's moving around in his own way. So it was very, very difficult.
And then there's the fog and you got to get that just right, because it can't be too much. It can't be too little. Like there's all that going on. Then you got to have the right face. And so there's a lot going on, but they make it look like you nail it pretty quickly.
And I mean, I kind of had to, because it was so hard. I'm like, we just need to get that shot. And one of my bummers about this shot was I feel like I look a lot bigger than I wanted to, because at one point the snake gets behind me and it's so heavy and it's pushing everything. So it's like my whole like waist gets bigger because everything's being like shoved to the front. It was nuts.
And we're super aware of all of those things about ourselves all the time. 100%.
I mean, I even still look at that picture and I'm like, oh,
that's too bad. And then that's all four of them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you say in commentary, too, that Wildlife Way Station, that guy called and asked if we wanted to do a Twilight dinner with all the animals at the way station.
Why did we never do that?
I don't know. Another thing, another lost opportunity.
There's like, we're coming up with this huge ass list of shit we never got to do that we wanted to do.
My guess reason why we didn't do it is because I think it was a little ways out. Like, I think it was a jaunt to get to it. I don't remember where it was, but I think it was a jaunt to get to it. And then it was a twilight thing. So obviously we'd be back past curfew. So I don't know if it was something Hef would be interested in joining, but I thought it would be so cool.
It sounds really cool, but I bet it's another thing, too, where Kevin was like, what's the story in that? I can see him being like, okay, but why are we going out there?
But I feel like there's an easy way to find the story out there. We're all animal lovers.
Yeah, I think so. But sometimes they weren't that imaginative when we would first pitch something.
True.
Might get regurgitated later.
Yeah.
But
I'm surprised Crystal and the twins didn't go have dinner at the
waste. I mean, maybe they did. I haven't thoroughly vetted season six.
It's true.
Yeah.
But I did want to talk about something totally off topic. But when I was doing the Elvira show, one of our final things that we had to do was we got to lay on her couch and we have the teleprompter in front of us, and they put, I don't know if it was banana or another. I don't think it was. I think it was a green python, but we had to manage a snake around us
so
too.
Cool.
So I know what that feels like to have it like
a challenge
to try and like talk on a teleprompter, you know, like talk to camera with a teleprompter, act natural, but you got the snake that's like heavy and slithering and doing its own thing. And like, it's a lot to concentrate on. And you're not used to handling snakes. So like, I don't want to grab it too tight and but I have to control it at the same time. So it gets really,
Was anybody just straight up too afraid to do it?
I don't know, because we had to do them separately.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't see everybody else's takes, but I'm sure if you didn't do it.
Chances are there'd be at least one person who would like start hyperventilating.
I would think so.
Snake fear is real.
Yeah. And then in commentary, Kendra says that she had two big ass snakes at one point.
How many lives has she lived, though, before she came to the mansion? Like, sometimes I feel like,
I know. I'm like, how?
Like, would Patty have at some point brought that up? Like, Kendra, remember when you brought home those giant and I had to take care of them?
Well, for some reason, I got the feeling that it had to have been when she was living with her fiance.
Maybe, yeah.
And maybe he drove a motorcycle.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, lots going on.
So then the next scene.
And the first note I wrote down was cuts right to Arnie saying, Bridget, you always come up with the most difficult shots for us.
Yeah.
Which is just what they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the witch shoot.
So it's my witch scene, and I picked it because we were so lucky to have Olivia draw us. Mm-hmm. And one of the drawings that she did of me is a witch, and she's flying on a broom. Well, it's me as a witch flying on a broom, and I have Gizmo in a pack behind me. And it's so cute. And I thought, I'm going to duplicate that.
Yeah.
And I honestly didn't think it would be that hard to do.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that the broom would kind of be like hanging, kind of like a swing type thing, and I would be straddling it and on it. And I had a fake stuffed cat that looked like Gizmo that I brought as the prop for her. And I thought it would be relatively easy, but they had it set up differently. They had like a black like angle. Well, you see it in the scene. And I was just supposed to somehow hold on to it with the broom in my hand. And I'm wearing these pointy ass witch boots, and there's just nothing for me to hold on to. And it's covered in a black fabric, so the boot just keeps slipping right off. So they came and they nailed like a little peg on there for me to put my boot on, but the boots will go into like a tiny like one toe point.
Yeah, so it's probably your foot isn't even on there.
It's not. It's just trying to like push one toe down into that toe thing and try and hold on by that. So I kept slipping and sliding on it, but whatever. Like
it is what it is.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Yeah. And when they're talking about Olivia, when I'm like explaining who Olivia is, they cut to a scene and it shows Olivia and Betty Page at the mansion.
Yeah. Do you know any of the backstory behind the photos of Betty Page when she was older finally getting revealed? Because Betty Page kind of went off the scene for decades and decades. And then she was found again. They started working with her CMG, that management company that Hef worked with, for her to like get her rights back, because so much of her image was being used on like merchandise and stuff, because she really became in style again in the 90s. And they kind of like got that back for her and got like business going for her. And one thing about Betty Page, she didn't want anyone in the public to see what she looked like now. She just wanted to be remembered for what she looked like then. So E! Did an E! True Hollywood story with her. And when they interviewed her in silhouette.
Mm.
But then for Playboy's 50th anniversary party, one of Hef's photographers took a photo of Pamela Anderson, Anna Nicole Smith, and Betty Page together. And obviously that's an exciting photo, especially for Hef. That's like three legendary playmates. And he published that in World of Playboy. And I'm assuming he asked Mark Rossler to ask Betty Page if that was okay, because Hef certainly knew that she was trying not to be seen. But for some reason at the time, I had the feeling
that he just ran with it without asking?
Yeah, and that it just never became an issue because Betty was financially dependent on Mark Rossler, who was the CMG lawyer who was working for
her. Oh, so now she just doesn't have a choice anymore? So too bad.
I don't know that. Like, maybe he asked her and Betty was finally like, yeah, I'll finally throw in the towel and finally, you know, give up that whole charade I was so careful to go along with for so long. I don't know. It could have gone either way. But for some reason at the time, I had the gut feeling that like, oh, they probably didn't even ask her. They just put it out and it was like tough luck. So I wonder how that went down. And I think we'll never know because the only people alive would only say one thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're showing this video of Betty Page as well. And I just wonder, did she approve that?
Yeah.
I don't think
she approved this little clip of her in the Girls Next Door.
Yeah, they wouldn't have ran that by her.
No.
But I wonder if she approved the whole reveal. Like, oh, you can show what I look like now. It just seems like a big step for something she had been so careful and consistent about for so long.
Yeah. But on a positive note, one thing I do want to talk about is what a dream come true it is. And we talk about it in commentary of like being drawn by Olivia and how incredible that is. And
totally.
How much we love, love, love our drawings. And
yeah, I'm still obsessed with my Olivia portrait.
Yeah, me too.
I strive to look like it, in fact.
I was doing that here.
Yeah.
Trying to look like my drawing. Okay, but now back to the scene. There's a problem because my butt is showing. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea of this was that the dress that I'm wearing, or whatever you want to call it, was going to pull over my butt. But because of the way I have to like straddle this like thing, it's up.
Yeah.
So now you see the thong. So now the panties are a problem.
And just to back it up a little bit, because I don't think we made this clear, in the calendar world, to sell a calendar, you can't be, I mean, you can sell a nude calendar, but to get the distribution we wanted, you can't be nude. So there were very specific parameters. Like even, I mean, I guess a thong was okay because Kendra's wearing a thong in her motorcycle thing, but maybe not like a G-string that makes it. Because if you're wearing a G-string and you have a booty, it kind of looks nude. Mm-hmm. But I also have that same issue in my Gold Rush picture. I solved that by posing a certain way, but they're just not making the fuss about it in my cut as they are right. with yours. Because I think they have this angle where it's like, Bridget's thing in this episode is just going to be like, her shoots are way too hard.
Yeah. Well, and they obviously had the same problem with Kendra because she's saying how she has to wear a pair of underwear backwards over the thong. So she has a thong.
Yeah. So it's not like a G.
Yeah. And then they had to put on a different pair of panties going the opposite direction to cover the thong. So everybody had the same issue, but it's not an issue for everybody else.
Yeah.
Only an issue for me. So then they pull out these underwear that are like full butt and they're black. They are clearly black and not navy yeah. blue, and they're clearly much smaller than the ones in Kendra's room. But to this day, so many people still think that they are the big ass underwear from Kendra's room.
Yeah, it's so weird because it's kind of a funny cut what they do to cut back to the old underwear. But I mean, you can see clearly it's not really.
People think it, though.
That's crazy.
People totally think it. And it's so crazy.
You know what else cringes me out in this whole scene? Is you're in a confessional and there's a point where you like pause between words and they put a special effect noise.
Yes.
I hate those. I hate the food and swallowing and
Yeah. And again, they're showing me make super ugly faces. And I feel like I had a complex about this for a while. Like, I'm like, maybe I'm just ugly. I'm always making that face. But then I'm like, there's no way I'm always making that face. We wouldn't be able to get other photos if I'm always making that face.
I feel like they're cutting it because they want you to look like you're disgusted with Arnie and the crew because they just can't get your vision right. I feel like that's what they're going for.
I hate it so much. And I feel like they deliberately use footage of me making ugly faces, and they love to get scenes of me too, like that earlier Yachty scene in the dressing area, because the lighting is so bad in there. They love to like follow me in there and use stuff from in there because the lighting looks terrible. And I've noticed them do that like three times to me now in this whole, you know, in all three of these seasons. So it's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. Well, we finally get it, and Arnie says, that was fun and a challenge, and that is three of mine, and like I said, they did all four of yours, and we're about to see the fourth one of Kendra's, but they never show my final one.
And they cut you in confessional, saying kind of a cap on the whole thing. I think Hef is going to like my witch photos because they're a little bit creepy and a lot sexy. But again, they're pushing the, what's Hef going to think about this?
Yeah.
Which, of course, we want him to like it. But you're doing it for you. You like it because it's a little bit creepy and a lot sexy. But they keep wanting to push this. We're just doing this for Hef. We're just doing this for Hef.
Yeah.
Like the pick me of it all.
I feel like they're less doing it to me, but I feel like they asked me that specifically so that I had a stake in it too. Like,
yeah.
What's Hef gonna think of these? That's just like so, like, I just felt talking about that stuff.
Which I get it that they need stakes and stuff. And I guess that's partially true because there was kind of that stress of, are we going to get our stuff in under the radar? Is Hef going to approve the layouts? But it wasn't because we wanted to impress him so bad. It was because we just wanted the finished product we wanted.
Yeah. So the next scene, we're back at the mansion and shooting Kendra's final look. And Kendra's talking about how much she can relate to Mae West. And they're out in the pool house and Yachty's out there. And I think this is kind of cool, too, because we've seen it before on the show. But it's sort of one of those little areas that we don't see too often on the show. And it's in the bathhouse. So just so you guys know. So like when you go out to the bathhouse, it's like four or five bathrooms. I forget how many there were.
Yeah.
And then to the right is just like a rock wall. And then it opens up to like this little like lounge area, like very 70s style, like fluffy pillows and carpet. And
do you remember there was a sauna out there too that nobody ever used? Like across from the bathrooms, there was a sauna.
Yeah, that's right.
But nobody used the sauna. It was like storage for something.
It was
like
full
they kept
storage.
Like pool toys and like bathing suits and things like that.
Because I think everybody preferred the steam room downstairs. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then there's a spiral staircase that goes down into the gym and the tanning beds and all that kind of stuff. But this is kind of where we're at right now. And you talk about in commentary that you and Steve were talking about taking the last bathroom in there and turning it into like a actual like makeup, hair and makeup place, like more salon style, like nice lighting where you can have professional makeup done, where you can get your hair colored with like a sink and stuff like that. And I thought, that's a great idea.
That would be great. And if there was still a toilet in there, you could still use it as like bathroom for parties and stuff.
Yeah.
But it'd be so great for not only all the photo shoots, but you know how it is, like in order to get girls coming up all the time, like Hef always wanted to have all the amenities that would like attract.
Yeah.
Girls.
So Kendra is wearing a corset with like this beautiful robe and she has like the long cigarette thing in her hand.
And I love it because when she walks in to do her shoot, Arnie is straight up like, Kendra, like, why Mae West? Like, mm-hmm. why? And I don't know if the show asked him to do that or if he's just confused because we're all confused.
Well, because she says, I feel like we have the same personality. And he goes, like what?
Yeah.
Like, he's very confused by it. And then she tries to recite some of the lines, but she's not getting them right. Yeah. And then in commentary, because if you guys don't know this about me already, like, I absolutely cannot stand cigarette smoke. Like, mm-hmm. it is one of my nemesis. If somebody's smoking two cars ahead of me, I can smell it and I'm pissed. Like, I cannot stand it.
I think about it all the time when I look at like retro footage or, you know, like on Instagram Reels when people show like retro footage. And I just think about how like everywhere people were smoking all the time. Like even in grocery stores, people were smoking in planes. And like they used to have smoking and non-smoking in planes. But that's a joke. Like, how are you not going to smell or breathing in the secondhand smoke if somebody's smoking way in the back and you're in the front of a plane? Like, that makes zero sense.
Even in restaurants, smoking or non-smoking. I mean, like, what? What's the barrier?
Yeah.
Like, what? Ugh, I just can't stand it at all. It's a big peeve of mine. So Kendra's joking with me about the smoking in commentary.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And she says she really wanted Hef to see her in the Mae West look so she could show off in front of him. That's what she says.
Yeah.
Here. So
there it is.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, here comes Hef and they take a photo together. And Kendra says she loved doing the classy look and made her feel like a girl. I felt so glamorous, but I couldn't wait to get out of that shit. And then it shows Kendra is in Hef's room. And then I don't know what that scene was supposed to be about, but then she says, okay, I'm going to go take this clown makeup off now, which I didn't think it looked like clownish or over the top or anything. I thought it looked good. And Hef looks at her and says, you have a strong overbite.
Yeah. And then he just walks away like nothing. And she's kind of like, huh? And just kind of laughs it off and looks at the camera like she doesn't know what the fuck just happened. And this is so typical Hef. And I'm surprised they left it in. I think they left it in because it just seems kind of like funny and odd and everybody laughs it off. And I think Kendra laughs it off because she just doesn't know what to do, like how odd. But to call out a quote unquote flaw somebody has on camera is just rude. It's like that book, The Game, when they talk about nagging, where you're like hitting on a girl and you're like, oh, you have the cutest little Bugs Bunny teeth. You know, and it's just gross.
Mm.
And I'm talking in commentary, too, about that scene and how that's such a typical Hef thing. And he always does that. And how one night I was standing at the sink with wearing nothing. And he goes, oh, we look like we're expecting, because I guess I was bloated that day or something. And it's just like,
yeah,
like he never missed a chance to point out if my roots needed done, like the tiniest thing, like it always got pointed out. And in front of people sometimes, and not just me. Like, I've seen him tell playmates, you need to stop it with the desserts at the dinner table in front of everybody.
Yeah, I have too. But you know what's crazy is all these flaws that I have and everything that everyone sees on the show. I don't remember him saying anything to me.
Well, you're lucky.
I mean, I'm not even trying to say it to say I'm lucky or whatever, but I'm just like that. I feel like it's sort of weird. I mean, maybe he did and I just buried it or something, but I don't recall him like saying something to me.
Well, I think part of it is he doesn't like red lipstick and Kendra's wearing red lipstick. So he's being a dick and like, oh, look at your overbite.
Oh, like it's pronounced now because you're wearing all this red lipstick.
And with me, he knew it meant so much to me to look good and be loved and like be good enough that he never missed a chance to like point it out and like knock me down a notch.
Yeah. Well, part of me is like, did I just bury stuff that he said and like don't like think about it? And another part
of me is like, I never witnessed him saying anything like that to you, I don't think.
It does seem odd, though, that I would have scathed, you know, like gone through unscathed.
Well, not everybody got it. Like, I mean, if you ask most playmates, did Hef come up to you and nag your appearance? Most of them are going to say no. But the handful of times we witnessed it, it was just like incredibly hurtful in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Bizarrely insensitive, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I've definitely heard him do it.
Yeah.
So I'm not like denying that at all. I'm just curious how I got away with it without the comments, you know?
Yeah.
Or did I? That makes me second guess. But I'm surprised that they left it in here.
I am too. The only reason I can think that they did is they needed some kind of they don't even need a button for the scene because they button it by like putting Hef's face over the Cary Grant face, you know?
And yeah. There was no reason to go cut back up to Hef's room. It's completely out of context.
Yeah.
Because they were just down on it just doesn't even make sense. Like she's out of the costume and everything. Like that's what I'm saying. Like, where are we even coming into the scene? Like, what was the scene supposed to be? What were they doing?
It is really bizarre.
And then they use it only for that one negative clip.
Yeah.
Which I forgot about it, but I did remember it. But even when I watched it, I had to be like, wait, what? And rewind it again and be like, no, he's really saying that. And it's just crazy.
It's a really strange choice.
It's crazy to leave it in. Like,
it's
not so crazy that he said it because we've heard him say it to people before, but it's crazy that they left it in and thought that was okay to leave in.
I know.
Again, maybe, though, it's just like showing, well, these girls aren't perfect and they don't really, you know, they don't make our standards.
And they're trying so hard. Because there is that theme of like, we're trying so hard to impress Hef with this calendar and they don't want our Mae West thing to maybe go off so much without a hitch, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So next scene, back at the mansion. And I say in an interview, today we are shooting the cover for our calendar.
Yep. So
Kendra's alarm goes off and she's not in bed.
Oh.
And Kendra says, everybody knows I'm late, but for once I was finally early. And she goes it to the Playboy studios and Kim says, well, you're here bright and early. And they make a big deal, or they have Kendra make a big deal about how she's there even before Holly and stuff.
I don't have the same call time because I do my own hair and makeup.
Right.
So I don't have to get there 2 hours earlier to...
Well, you go and you do your own hair and makeup so you don't have to be there for early for hair and makeup. But not only that, you go and get everybody coffee because you come back with all the arms full of coffee for everyone. So she's making a big deal about it. And I get it. Like it's in a joking way. And for once she's there before you or whatever. But at the same time, I just want the audience to know that, like, of course she's there before. Like that's. How it needed to go.
It's funny because when I do these rewatches, it happened the same way when I was doing the YouTube rewatch. I notice that things in my life now will parallel sometimes what I'm seeing on the show. Like when I did the YouTube rewatch, it's like we start in season one and I'm completely insecure and hate doing the show and blah, 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 blah. And then as the seasons go on, they get better and better and I get more and more confident. And I noticed when I was doing the rewatch that like my real life, I was getting more and more confident, like it almost mirrored. And it's funny because we have this scene where I wasn't late, but they're making it look like, because they show me like speeding in my Porsche and they kind of make it look like, oh, Kendra's on time and I'm late. But for the past 2 days when we've been recording here, I have been late because my schedule's just been like my life is out of control right now in a good way. It's all good stuff, but like I need to like get an assistant or something because shit's crazy. But it's funny that this scene is coming up because it's very uncharacteristic of me to be late. And the last 2 days have been a struggle.
Well, I think that's part of it for me, too, is that I'm like, wait, but Kendra is early. Yes. But Holly's not really late. And I think it's my Libra side of me going, wait, I have to like say the truth here. Like,
yeah,
what's really going on
totally.
Here?
Totally. So the cover was just us shooting against a beige background. Mm-hmm. And it was inspired by some outtakes from our second cover shoot where we were just kind of posing and like acting like we were pulling each other's underwear off and stuff. And we really liked those photos.
They were just fun and easy. Mm-hmm. And we worked really well together on it. So we thought, why not like kind of change what we're wearing, but do the same thing for it. It's so simple.
And I thought the shoot looked great. I think we all look amazing. Arnie says we're his favorite girls to shoot, which is so sweet.
Yeah.
And then they do a cut that I hate. Do you have something more to say before when we're looking at the selects on the computer?
Well, I was just going to say, in this scene, they're not showing all the ugly faces because everything's good now. Yeah. And we're all like...
So miraculously, you're not making those faces anymore.
Yes.
Just what happened?
Yeah.
So then it cuts to us like looking at the selects on the computer screen and kind of going through what we like and don't like. And I'm talking about how it's hard to pick a photo that because we all want to look our best and have our favorite photo, but we have to find one where all three of us like the way we look.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does this weird cut where I say, and it looks like I'm saying it to you, well, you can airbrush out your ribs. And then it cuts to you standing someplace totally else, making the face.
Yeah.
Like you're pissed. And first of all, I would have never said we can retouch out your ribs unless someone first said, and I could have been saying this to you or Kendra. I don't remember who it was doing. I don't like my ribs in that one. It's like, well, you shouldn't scrap the whole picture if all our faces look amazing. We can just airbrush out your ribs. But they make it look like I'm picking on you and saying, you can airbrush out your ribs. And you're like,
well, it starts even further back than that because I say, I don't like that one. Like we point to one of the photos. I don't know which one. I said, I don't like that one because I think I look fat in it. And you say, yeah, you're right. It looks like you don't have a waist. And then you say, we can just airbrush out your ribs. But I don't think you were talking to me at all. I mean, I think you might have said, you're right. It looks like you don't have a waist because...
Not because you don't have a waist, but because the pose was weird.
Yeah.
And like,
agreeing with you that, yeah, that's not a great one of you. We can find better. The we can airbrush out your ribs, I think, was in response to something totally else. And my guess was that it had more to do with Kendra because I feel like if anyone, her ribs probably stick out most because she's always sucking in really good.
Yeah.
And I feel like if anything, it probably was like she said, oh, I don't like my ribs in that one. And you said, well, we can airbrush that or whatever.
That would be my guess, too, because ribs sounds like more of a Kendra complaint, I think.
Totally. But I know that that was out of context,
too. So I hate that. I would just hate for somebody to see that and think that I was like calling something out that somebody else hadn't called out on themselves first.
Right.
And just being a bitch. Like, we can airbrush out your ribs because you suck.
But they're doing it for several different reasons. Yeah. Number one, it goes back to you saying, well, I'm glad I picked that bed then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're pushy and it's like, you know, you come out with these little snippy comments. This is what they're trying to make it seem like. And then they're also still pushing the Bridget's heavy and we got to like deal with that now. We're going to have to airbrush out, you know, ribs and we're going to have, she doesn't have a waist and like she doesn't need to be in these photos, but here we are.
Totally what they're doing. Yeah.
So they're doing it for several different reasons.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Another reason I think the rib comment was probably something Kendra brought up is right after that, I say, if you want anything retouched, just say, because we can do anything. And I can tell by the way I'm talking, I'm explaining something to Kendra. Like, I know you already know the drill, like we're already in sync, but I can just tell by like the pace of how I'm saying it and like trying to sound nice and like explain. And obviously Kendra and I don't hang out that much. So I'm not filling her in with exactly how everything works at the studio and how the editing process is going. Like I can tell that's something I'm saying to Kendra and not you.
Yeah, I can too.
Yeah. And then we're scream laughing at some of the outtakes, I can tell. Because there were always some fun outtakes where we acted like we were taking a shit or something.
Yeah, I remember we were doing funny things. And so we actually found a bunch that we all agreed on. So like acting like we are never going to find a photo that's like, you know, we all like, it was total fake drama for the show because there were several that we loved.
Yeah, there were so many.
In fact, there was two that were so good. We talk about it in here. We used one for one size calendar and one for the other size calendar because we couldn't decide which one.
Yeah.
We liked them both so much. So, I mean, that was, total fake drama.
And there are probably multiple outtakes too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So the final scene is me walking down to the office in my bright yellow Ed Hardy hoodie, eyebrow blindness in full effect.
Oh, no.
And I'm meeting Hef in the office where he's overlooking the calendar. And for him approving the calendar, it doesn't just mean like pictures. It means the layout, because I did design the layout as well, because the way it was it wasn't just like one big picture and then the dates at the bottom. It was one big picture that took up about 2/3 of the space. And then on the side, there would be a column with like the calendar, and then it looked kind of scrapbook style, like two other squares with like outtakes or like our second favorite choice. So I had fingers crossed that Hef would also approve my layout, because you never knew. He could have been like, oh, why is that goofy outtake in there? Fuck that. You know, you never knew. So I was very excited to find out if he liked it or not. And I feel like the way this scene plays out, it's too easy and too nonchalant. I have to believe that I already knew that Hef liked the layout and I already knew it was approved, because it just seems a little too easy when I'm watching this scene.
That makes sense.
You know, and especially because, you know, like he didn't like to film things that were too real. He liked to be very prepared and, you know, things like that. So that's my impression of the scene.
They do give a big pause before he answers. And then he says, I think you did a beautiful job. But so they do give you the suspense in there.
Yeah.
And then in an interview, you say when Hef approved the calendar, you were really excited. And Hef said he's very proud of you. I think you did a beautiful job of conceiving it and designing the whole thing. And you say that you want to be a photo editor at Playboy. And this is just another way to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And then it ends on a clip of Mae West. And she tells her assistant,
Beulah, peel me a grape. And before that, they just show like a nice photo in front of the mansion of like the cover of the calendar. And I remember we were always kind of excited for the episodes to potentially come out in time for people to buy the calendar. But since this came out in April, it was probably like way too early. So I don't think they really went on sale until like July at the earliest.
Anticipation.
Yeah. So we were always hoping it could kind of be coordinated, but it never really was.
Yeah.
But at least it's earlier rather than later, I guess. So
one last thing in commentary, when we are ending this episode, we are all complaining that we still do not have a credit on the show.
Damn, it's season 3 and we still don't have our credits.
We don't have credits. And so you
That's insane.
We all say, I'm Star Bridget, Star Holly, Star Kendra. Like,
yeah, our last names are nowhere to be seen on this.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I know this is reality TV, so it's not unionized in any way. But one of the biggest things with like entertainment unions is like proper credits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just egregious that we never got a proper credit. It's just our first name at the beginning, like we're bobblehead dolls.
Mm-hmm. It is crazy. And I did not do my best and worst.
Ooh. Okay, so I will start.
Okay.
I think best is just the visuals of all the fun sets. I love seeing all those. I think all of us look beautiful. It's some of my favorite looks of everybody. And I like, you know, the capturing of me being creative and enterprising. And I love that. Worst, I mean, there's a lot of things I could pick, I think. I think you probably have a different worst than me. But the Mae West thing, I think I'm allowed to hate it. I hate being a hater of it because I want to be more gracious and be like, well, she looked really pretty. I do think she looked really pretty and everybody should be trying different things. But I know I hated it in the moment. And I think it was the combination of not just her doing that, but the fact that Kevin was so excited to use the footage. It just got turned into such a thing. And I'm like, wait, like I'm obsessed with old Hollywood and that's all I want to do. And I never get this moment in the show where it's like they're pulling the old footage to compare and doing this. So I'm kind of like,
yeah,
I think I'm allowed to hate it.
Yeah, I think so, too. For me, the worst, obviously, is going to be the way they portrayed me in here is difficult. Ugly faces, obsessed with the chocolate. I mean, all of those things, I just feel like make me look like I'm not worthy to be there.
Well, it's very unfair, too, how they make it look like you're difficult when really you're probably one of the most creative people to walk through there and bring the most ideas. But they just make it look like it's a pain in the ass. Or how does she expect us to just magically know how to do this when the studio oftentimes magically knew how to do anything?
Right.
Like you should have seen some of the shit. I mean, you do see it on the show, but you should have seen some of the shit they built. Like the other day when we were talking about like Regina's Bavarian pub set, like we didn't end up using that for the centerfold, but we used it for like her online outtakes. And it was just fantastic.
I bet. It sounds amazing. Yeah.
We also shot her at the Charlie Chaplin apartments because they look so old world Bavaria.
Yeah,
and that was one of my favorite things to shoot too.
Yeah. I think my favorite is just, I really did love most of my scenes. I don't love the way the Valentine photos turned out in retrospect, but I do like the witch ones. I think they're cute. I love the cake ones that I did. I know you guys don't get to see that. Maybe I can post them on Patreon, but I absolutely love them. They're probably one of my favorites. Even when I see them now, like I have the whole set of all of those photos. I'm like, I just love these so much.
I'll definitely scan the whole calendar for Patreon so you guys can see it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love being creative like that. I love coming up with the ideas. So, I mean, I loved everybody else's too. Like I thought it was a good calendar.
Oh, I loved everybody's. Like, I always loved the sets you came up with. And I always loved, you know, Kendra, despite my hatred of the Mae West thing, I do love, like, seeing the different things Kendra came up with. And I thought she looked her best in some of these shoots. And I love the calendars. And I just feel like the calendars are so girls next door.
Yeah.
Like, they're themey, they're colorful, they're bright. We all get to express our individual personalities.
Yeah.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And I love the cowgirl one, too. It's so cute.
I think out of the three calendars, maybe this one was my favorite one, even more so than the last one.
Really? I think, well, I mean, I haven't revisited the last one, so I can't say for sure. But our last calendar that we did.
Well, you had some really good ones in the last one, but I feel like me and Kendra were a little more either checked out or focused on other things. Like, I feel like I went through kind of a plain phase my very last year at the mansion because I was so into my job that I wasn't even dressing cute anymore.
Oh.
I wasn't even wearing anything cute to the 4th of July party. So my stuff is a little more plain. But I remember for the last calendar, you did like that pirate thing in the grotto,
yes,
which is one of my favorites ever.
I love it.
And I think that was the year you did like the Carmen Electra inspired winter one,
yes,
which is really cool.
The ice skating
really cool
one.
Outfit.
I love
yours in the last calendar, but I think my favorite calendar just overall is the middle one, this one.
That makes sense. Yeah, but those are exactly the two that I was thinking of that I'm like, oh wait, I think I love the last one the best.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like the last season, like our last or I think it was our second to last cover that we did, the stars one, mm-hmm, and that calendar and stuff, I feel like I was coming into kind of my look,
your
and
taste.
I was starting to like find it finally.
Yeah.
A little too late, but like I felt like I was like, when I see those photos, I feel like, oh, this is how I think I look and how I, you know, want to look and how I want to be portrayed. And all the other things I feel like are a miss, sort of.
Or just not you getting where you are yet.
Yeah.
Way,
but they're just like a slight miss, you know, like they're not, it's
like
not
almost,
that they're bad.
Yeah, almost there.
Yeah. But I'm just like, oh, there's something off. Like, I don't love the hair here. Mm-hmm. I don't love the makeup there. I don't like how I'm posing or that face or whatever. But then like later on, I'm like, oh no, I hit my stride kind of.
Yeah. What do you think is the scene idea for calendar that we missed out on that we should have done? Like, I'm thinking, oh, Moulin Rouge would have been cool.
Yeah. Do you mean like individuals or like all together?
Either.
It's hard because we do come up with a lot of cute ones that we wanted to do and then didn't do. Your Moulin Rouge one would be cute. The swing one, I would love to do a swing one, but like totally different. Like obviously not in the studio or whatever. Like I love a swing as an element of things. I know I've mentioned before wanting to do, and I know I did like the circus thing, but I really wanted to do like a very carnival-y theme. I always wanted Girls Next Door to do like merry-go-round thing. And so I was so pissed when they did it, because I had pushed for that so many times for us to be on like a merry-go-round or doing like a whole carnival. And it always got vetoed for I don't even know what reason, because it would have been totally cute and it matches the look of Girls Next Door.
Yeah.
But then the second we leave, they give it to Crystal and the Twins, the carnival thing. And my exact ideas.
Yeah, it's crazy because Crystal and the Twins like stepped in at a time when I feel like E was really amazing at their promo shoots. Like the stuff they did for me for Holly's World, like I'm still blown away.
Wow.
It was just crazy. Like the Holly's World season one poster where I'm sitting on top of like a giant disco ball and you see the whole city underneath me. That was a real set. The only thing that was Photoshopped is it says the world Holly's World around the big disco ball. That was the only thing that was Photoshopped. They gave me a huge real disco ball. They had all these cardboard cutouts, but in the photo, they look like three-dimensional, like of every hotel on the strip. And like, it was phenomenal.
Wow.
And they did both seasons. They did like Wizard of Oz sets. And then for season two, they did this whole like candy set with like a, and I had this sign for the longest time, but it got damaged in storage, so I had to get rid of it. But like the sign that said, the letters that said Holly's World weren't Photoshopped in. It was like a really big sign. It was just like, I was like, whoa, there was this. For season two, they took out this whole like convention room in Planet Hollywood. And it was like all these sets.
That's amazing. I had no idea.
So I can only imagine that's kind of what they got for season six, which sucks that we didn't get. For us, like, I love our promo shoots, don't get me wrong, but it was just show up at the mansion and use the mansion resources and stuff.
Yeah.
But for them to have that carousel, I think clearly they got like a cool shoot.
Yeah.
You know what else I remember they did is there was a promo for E that they were doing right before Holly's World season one launched, and they had like all the stars come in, and at that time Girls Next Door hadn't been canceled yet, so there was like the Kardashians, and at that time it was like only Kim, Khloe, and Kourtney that were really doing like the promo. So it was like the Kardashians, and then Pretty Wild, you remember that show?
Yes.
Was one. And then Kendra's promo was like her and Hank, and they had like a baby stroller with rims. And it was everybody just kind of dancing around, and it would show like individual. And mine was like just me, and it was like a Marilyn Monroe skirt blowing scene. And then Crystal and the twins were on there, but they had them hula hooping and roller skating. And I'm like, that's so us though.
Yeah.
That's not them. I know obviously we didn't invent hula hoops and roller skates, but those were like two motifs that we were always like super pushing. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, so weird.
And didn't later Crystal say in her book that she hated those things?
Yes. She's like, nobody likes hula hooping in a string bikini except me.
I liked it. I mean, what? Yeah. I mean, I just love a really cool photo shoot. I had no idea that your photo shoots were that cool for Holly's World, but I mean, I love that kind of stuff so much.
Me too. There is this, speaking of a carousel shoot, and I know this isn't the type of carousel you would want to do, but there's this pumpkin patch up in Summerlin in Vegas. And I've been looking at it because I drive by it a lot. And I've been looking at it for like the past 3 or 4 years. They have this carousel and it's very like old school, kind of janky, but cute and charming carousel. And there's these two rabbits, like rabbits you would sit and ride on, and they're deranged looking, and one's pink and one's yellow. And I always feel like you and I need to do a photo shoot on that carousel. And I'm like, how do I contact these? I started following them on Instagram. I should just reach out, but like, we need to go there like right before they open, or like at golden hour or something. And, or I bet I could find that carousel, cause I'm sure like Pasquale, cause he does rides for like EDC, he probably knows those people. Like, we need to do a shoot on that carousel. Like, it's not the carousel shoot you want to do, but also that one, because it's like these janky but like charming and kind of creepy and kind of retro rabbits, and they're like our Girls Next Door colors. I'm like, we need to shoot with those creepy looking rabbits. I drive by them all the time and I'm like,
yeah, that sounds amazing. See, I would like that too. The creepy carnival look, I love. And there's also, speaking of that kind of thing, there is this merry-go-round at the, well, I don't know if they, I didn't go this year, but the LA Haunted Hayride has skeleton animal, like,
well,
skeleton horses.
Nick's profile picture on that carousel. Yeah.
Yes, but I always thought that's a cool one too. Like, I've never seen a carousel like that before except for at Hayride, and it's so cool.
I love a cool, weird carousel. Mm-hmm. It's just like weird things. Have you seen the carousel? I think it's in Harlem where it's like animals, but it looks like a kid drew the animals.
No.
Yeah. There's so many cool ones.
I did do a carousel eventually with a photographer, and it was like in Houston or something like that. And I thought they were cute. I don't know what happened to those photos, though.
Oh, I hate it when you just lose the content.
I know. I know. But yeah, I love a good photo shoot. I'm
up
for one.
Me too. So thank you for listening. If you'd like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Nah, 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 nah.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.